A very warm welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to the Redemptorist Friendship Circle, a podcast by the Redemptorist community of the Vice Province of Malaysia and Singapore. In this podcast, we try to talk about everything Redemptorist. We try to introduce you to the Redemptorist around the world and try to talk about interesting and current topics in and around the Catholic Church. I am Terence Wee, a Redemptorist, serving here in Novena Church in Singapore and a host of this podcast. Now, usually I have my co-host, Father Gerard Lewis, another Redemptorist priest from the Vice Province with me. But however, if you have been following our previous episodes, you would have known that Father Gerard is currently in Texas, USA, doing a sabbatical program. And he indicated that the program is now in a somewhat intensive state, so he needed a break to focus on the program. So today I will be flying solo. However, not to worry. As a compensation, I've decided to bring out the big guns. So my guest today, also a Redemptorist, is a multi-talented person and someone who have many wonderful stories to share. And in fact, I believe many of our listeners here in Singapore will be quite familiar with him. So without further ado, let us put our hands together and welcome Father Patrick Masang. Great. All right, Patrick, welcome, welcome. How are you, Patrick?
Thank you, Terence. I'm fine in this hot summer afternoon in Ipoh Gardens.
Okay, yeah, it's just as hot here in Singapore. So very nice to see you. So as I said, I believe some of our listeners are familiar with you, but perhaps some will find you an unfamiliar face. So just give us a brief introduction of yourself and tell us what was your vocation story? How did you become a Redemptorist? Give us the highlights and tell us all the interesting stuff.
Well, I had my calling when I was very young, but as a young man, I said it is all an emotional upsurge or whatever it is. I never took it seriously at all. I guess the calling grew more and more when I went to work and it had to be tested. I went to see some spiritual directors. I spent time with the Jesuits and I had an interview with the Franciscans. But the one thing I did was to stay away from the Redemptorists because I just felt I couldn't fill such big shoes. No. Because they came to our parish and gave amazing missions. And I said, no, this is a different order altogether. And the Franciscans, I hardly got to know them because I only saw them in their brown robes. They would come in, breeze in and breeze out. So the only other alternative was to be a diocesan priest. Mm-hmm. But my parish priest said, you should give the Redemptorists a go. And I says, I can't do that. They are just up there. And, you know, I just felt it's not my calling. Okay. Anyway, to cut the short, when I really felt, okay, I should give them a shot. Uh-huh. And when I went to see my parish priest again for spiritual direction, he says, they normally will recruit in January. So, Patrick, you're in the middle of the year. You can resign from your job. And you went, you know, apply. So that's what I did.
Okay.
I applied. I had good recommendations from the Archbishop, from the Monsignor. All the papers were in order, including my parish priest. And I attended the vocation camp because my peer people were already entering the Redemptorist. So I said, no problem. The seminarians came to visit my home and says, Patrick, you have no problem. You will be going into the Redemptorist order. Okay. So I went for the vocation camp in St. John's Island. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, after that, I remember Johnny Martin saying, you know, you should go to Novena Church, mm-hmm. see the Vice Provincial, and he'll give you the good news because my best friend from the parish is making his habit.
Okay.
And so I went to Novena Church mm-hmm. in the evening after the vocation camp and waited for the Vice Provincial. He came and he spoke to me and his opening word, hi, Patrick, welcome. You know something? I wish the ground before me could enter. I mean, could open so it could swallow him. And I said, it's very strange for you to say that. Father, why? He says, Patrick, I don't know how to say it, but I'm very sorry. We cannot accept you.
Oh, my gosh.
Go back and get your job. And I said, Father, did you get the recommendation from the Archbishop and the Monsignor and my parish priest? He says, yes, we got that. But I'm so sorry, we cannot. And I tell you, my whole world just collapsed. Mm-hmm. I said, Oh my God, many are called, few are chosen. So I walked out into Thompson Road where the bus stop was with my cousin, and I sat there waiting for the bus. I was really, really so shattered. But I told him, give me 2 minutes, I'll go back to the shrine there in Novena Church. Because mom said, any problems, say three Hail Marys. I went to the shrine and I prayed. I said, Mother Mary, I feel I have a calling. And if it's really a calling, you work that out for me. And they told me to go back and get my job. If it's in God's plan, I will get my job back. I went back, I got my job, but the manager says, Patrick, once you resign, we'll give you 6 months for you to look for another job. And in 6 months' time, the Redemptorist called me and said, are you interested? And I said, oh, lo and behold, oh, are you joking? I went back to square one. I went back to my girlfriend and life was, you know. Then I said, all right. That's when I said, all right, if they say it's time for me to join, then I went
So,
in.
what was the first rejection all about? Were they playing a practical joke on you, or?
No, it was Father Pang, the novice master, because he knew the other five candidates already.
All
He
right.
wasn't willing to take in a stranger from Malaysia that he did not know and did not meet. So the last minute, when my application came to him, he says, I do not know this Patrick Masang. Qualifications are all very good, but I will not take that risk.
Oh dear.
It was Father Pang. And he reminded me recently when I went to Singapore. He says, Patrick, I withheld your application. I can't remember why. And I said, Father Pang, you are the one that, you know, but I'm so glad that you know, they asked me to wait. And so here I am to tell that story, that, you know, being rejected, but you don't give up.
So those that is a pass. I'm sure that must have been an interesting start. So, was it smooth sailing after that?
I wouldn't say it was smooth sailing. There were moments when you have your doubts, and we read about perseverance. And you know, after we take our first vows and we renew that, I think perseverance kept me going. And deep down inside, I just felt I just have to work it. If it's really my calling, whatever it is, God will accept me with all my iniquities and all my shortcomings.
Wonderful.
Somehow, this raw diamond will be polished in the end. So that was it. I just felt I had something to give to the congregation.
Yes, I'm sure after you fully joined the Redemptorist, you must have contributed in many ways. I have to say, when I joined the Redemptorist, I do not know many of the Redemptorists, but I definitely know this name, Father Patrick Masang. And just 1 week after I joined as an aspirant at that time, we were being sent to Sarawak, and I would say that, okay, you guys got to go there and spend 2 weeks. I thought that was like so wonderful. And I remember when I arrived there, and you were just happily walking from somewhere else, and you just walked back, and it was just like with such a style and a suave. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, this is Father Patrick. And we spent a really, very wonderful time. So I have to say that it was really nice meeting you. At that first few weeks of me joining the Redemptorist, and you have definitely left a strong impression on me. So thank you, Patrick. So still inspiring as to many. But today is not just about you. One of the reasons why we have invited you into this podcast is to try to understand also the community that you are in. As of now, Father Patrick, you are with our IPO community. That is one
That's right.
of the communities in our vice province here in Malaysia and Singapore. So perhaps you can give us a little bit more background about the presence of the Redemptorist in Malaysia. So could you give us just a very general background? How did the Redemptorist came to Malaysia? I believe that they came to Singapore first, and then they went over to Malaysia, and then we established communities both in East and West Malaysia. So just give us a little bit of a background as to how the Redemptorist came to Malaysia and what was the establishment and presence like.
Yeah, the Redemptorists first established themselves in Singapore, but because they were giving parish missions, they went up to Malaysia. And one of the places they covered was Ipoh. They went to a diocesan parish, St. Michael's, for mission work.
All right.
And it was the request of the people that the Redemptorists should also come to Ipoh, right? So we started off in the early 60s to be known there, you know, giving parish missions. And then in the later on in the 60s, we got a place in a called Tambun, a big bungalow. That was our first establishment. And it was not yet a church. It was just a big, huge bungalow. Mm-hmm. Only in 1970 did the bishop decide to give us a place officially. But before that, there was this tension between the people and the clergy. The clergy was not so keen on us coming into the diocese because we seemed to be attracting a lot of people to this bungalow, which was called Novena Church. We were so famous for the Novena. So not just Singapore was called Novena Church. Our first beginnings in this place called Tambun Road was at the Novena Church. See?
That's something new. I didn't even know about that.
Yes. When I asked the old people who have, you know, much senior to me, they remember this place being called Novena Church before Father Wallace, the pioneer, bought this big piece of land.
Okay.
So in 1972, officially it was opened as this Mother of Perpetual Help Church. And then we flourished.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two things that happen. We run a very active parish and we also have a mission team.
Okay.
Two are attached to the parish. Mm-hmm. The others, three or four of the other community members, they help in the parish, but they also do mission work.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the need of the diocese is throughout Malaysia, we will attend to it, whether it's renewal, parish retreats, you just name it, seminars and talks, formation programs, giving nuns retreats, whatever it is, whatever the church needs, we are here to help the local church. We are like the
How big was the community at that time?
I think the community was about eight.
Okay.
Seven to eight,
seems like that's a lot of work for such a community to be taking on. I mean, it's like this, it feels like there's a lot of things to do.
Right, because we ran a mass media place where they used to produce videos.
Ooh.
You know, we had a studio here. Yes, wow. We had that multimedia communication center. Before YouTube and all that was on, we were producing videos for families with Christian values and all that. We had all this was a very active parish. Besides the parish, it was a multimedia center. And then you had the mission team that went all around Malaysia giving parish renewals and parish retreats and talks and whatever it is, which the local church needed at that time because very few religious were doing this. So we were in great demand in Malaysia and in Sarawak.
All right. So just a very quick question. Before 2019, actually when I joined, our vice province was known as the Vice Province of Ipoh. How did this name came to be? Why did at what point of time did we call ourselves the Vice Province of Ipoh?
Because you go back right from the very beginnings, the pioneers in Singapore, there was a threat of communism.
Mm-hmm.
And Malaysia seems to be a more stable place compared to Singapore.
Okay.
And was easier to register this with the government. It's a gazetted through parliament. This name came about. So it was more stable to register this, our presence in Malaysia. So that's why the pioneers did this. They registered this in Malaysia.
Okay. So at that time, although it is called the Vice Province of Ipoh, the Vice Province actually consists of all the members from Malaysia and Singapore also. All right.
Yes.
And how did we get inroad into East Malaysia then?
Invitations.
Okay.
Because our reputation just spread widely and because the Australian fathers were asked to give clergy retreats in Sabah and Sarawak. So that was the first exposure, giving clergy retreats and then renewal programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the name of the Redemptorists as missioners went all round and we finally ended up in the church by the river because a new bishop was appointed, Dominic Su, in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And he was short of priests. He sent letters to all the religious bodies, orders. The Redemptorist was the only one that said, we will give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And the vice provincial at that time, Father Edmund Dunn, said he will go and visit the place. And he found so many churches abandoned in that sense. One of the most poorest was Dala, the church by the river, that had no parish priests for more than 10 years. Then he decided, I think this is the parish which is the poorest and the most abandoned. We will take this on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took it on. Everything changed after that.
Okay. So do you want to describe a little bit of the change? Because to be honest, before I became a Redemptorist, I have already heard of the Church by the River, because that I'm sure at a period of time, you were going around promoting your cassette, The Church by the River. Okay. So when I was a young kid, maybe 12, 13, I've already have the cassette Church by the River. Okay. And I never imagined one day I will go to the Church by the River and meet this famous Father Patrick Masang. So perhaps you can just share with us a little bit of the how did the church develop, and were you the first one? I'm sure for a long time you have been associated with the Church by the River. So give us a little bit of a breakdown. So how did the church?
Right.
Yeah.
So when the invitation came, the obvious choice would be people from Sabah, right? There was a Calixtus and there was a Lucas Ho. These people were handpicked and they were, told you are going to go to East Malaysia. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, when they had the chapter and Calixtus was chosen to pioneer this, and said, you will go with Lucas Ho. But he says, no, I want, as my sidekick, the assistant will be Patrick Masang. We are not trained for parish work. Mm-hmm. I was not trained in the seminary. But just to give him support, I said yes to it. And when we both went there, when we saw the state of the church and the house, we were joking with each other, let's look, when is the next boat back to Cebu? And then let's get out of this place and just, say, this is not an appropriate place.
Okay.
But then we said, no, now, since the Redemptorist said, yes, we would take this place on. It was very run down because it was very badly maintained. The church was also very small. The maximum was just 400, maybe a capacity. But then the crowds on Sundays were 800 to 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. We had to extend the church, and no help came from the bishop. So the only way that we could do something was, I told, when I tried to convince the bishop, I think I can go out and sing. He looked at me as if I was crazy. I said, how many do you expect to sell? I said, Bishop, I think I can go around on a road show and start this, He just wouldn't believe it. He said, give it a go. So the vice provincial at that time believed in me. He said, I'll give you a grant. Mm-hmm. So that you don't have to pay us back. So Father Johnny Martin at that time believed, because I gave him this. He said, Patrick, your vision is amazing, but you don't have the money, but we will invest in this.
Mm-hmm.
Master copy that you want to go and record and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So the rest is history. From one cassette tape, we went on to three other albums, and we built this. We raised them with a seed of just 6,000. At the end of the day, we raised more than 2 million. At that time, it was big time in Sarawak. Yes, became one of the most flourishing churches in Sarawak. So that was it.
Yeah.
When God gives you a talent, it's for the community. It's not for my glory. So, and the Redemptorist helped me to... You see, during my seminary days, I went for voice training.
Mm-hmm.
I went to do a course in speech and drama until I got my certificate from Trinity College, a teacher's diploma to teach speech and drama. That's why I went into musicals and drama and teach.
I wonder why did we not get the same opportunity? Yeah, that's why you see that when I speak, I stutter a little bit.
No, you have to sell your dreams to your superior. This is where it is, So I'm a very good salesman.
Okay.
They believed in me. I did so many things. They said, yes, Patrick, go for it. And there I was, including photography. They knew that I like photography. I did that and I won prizes and all that. So it is, develop whatever God has given you. The talent is for the community, it's for the church.
Okay.
And there it is.
Wonderful. We'll see when we make you cut another album to raise funds for us. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be happy with that. So, all right. So that is East Malaysia, Dalat, and West Malaysia. We established ourselves in Ipoh. Did we ever try to establish more communities around Malaysia?
We would like to, but manpower will not allow us to.
Okay.
In Malaysia, you see, like in Sarawak, when we couldn't get the Singaporeans there anymore, it became an international community. But in East Malaysia, you can get working visas. Not in West Malaysia, because they think this is a Muslim country, although it's not a Muslim country. They just say that so that people will believe in that. So that's why we can really expand by getting people, other missionaries like the Australians coming in. We got neighboring countries of Indonesia and the Philippines willing to collaborate with us and work, but the government will not give them work permit. That's the disadvantage.
Did we not attract local vocations?
Well, like everywhere, it's just a trickle. We have two in the novitiate. One is from the church by the river. Can you imagine that? First time in history. So we have two. We've got aspirants here in Malaysia, which of course I'm the vocation promoter. We've got one in the university, one in another parish who wants to join us, and one from this parish. So when the time is right, they will be going in for their postulancy.
You're talking about right now, right?
Not now, yes.
No, I'm talking about at that time when we just started establishing, and you were saying that, you know, even the bishops were being a little bit wary of our presence because we were attracting all these people. Did we not have like a vocation boom with a lot of people wanting to join us? Yeah,
yes.
What happened?
There is Philip Lai from Ipoh.
Okay.
There is Rudy Wong. There is Joe Stevens.
Okay.
All these Ipoh people,
okay,
besides Ken Williams from Penang, and Joe Tan is also from Penang. We had people from various parts of the country joining, so we did have a good force here in Ipoh.
But it didn't just keep expanding. We didn't manage to sustain that momentum.
We did not. Some left and some died, and you know, so the turnover was no.
Okay.
But now we're hoping to climb that ladder.
Yep. So this might be a little bit sensitive, but I suppose that it's also because of all this manpower issues and you know, the limitations of our presence there that also ultimately we have to give up our presence in East Malaysia. Is that how it went.
I don't see it as that because we have got people in the novitiate.
Okay.
They'll be going to the seminary next year.
Okay. No, but so what I'm saying is that we are no more in charge of the church by the river at one point of time.
That one, we had given it back to the bishop. But now there is an invitation for us to go back there and start a place. He's given us a place near Muka, one of the divisions there. He wants us to start a Marian shrine, something Marian in his diocese. He said that is something that is missing since we left Dalat. He wants us back.
Okay.
So it's up to the vice provincial to go and negotiate because we've got two requests, one from Cebu again and one from Miri. So that's in on the drawing block.
All right.
Yeah. So
wonderful. So at least we have quite a bright future, and hopefully we will start again and expand again and to have a stronger presence in Malaysia soon in the near future.
In Malaysia, definitely better possibilities because of work permit. The government will give foreign priests that.
So maybe, sorry. So maybe we can just turn the focus a little bit back to Ipoh and the parish there. So as of now, we are running a parish in Ipoh called Our Mother of Perpetual Help, OMPH Church.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about this parish? What is there anything unique about the parish itself? And how does the Redemptorists make their presence felt in the community?
Yeah, you see, first of all, we are not a shrine like in Ipoh. This is a diocesan. Like in Singapore, like Novena Church, this is not a shrine.
All right.
This is a parish, a diocesan parish run by the Redemptorists. So we come under the bishop. He calls all the shots, whatever the programs that he has, themes, whatever trust, we have to run them. Right. So it's a full-fledged, vibrant parish that have outreaches to the poor. We've got what is called the Caritas.
Okay.
That we go out, right? That we even cater for the indigenous people, the orang asli. Then we've got, we call them Finns, friends in need, families that are poor. We reach out to them. There are poor students that we give free tuition to. There is the RCIA program. There is a big charismatic renewal program. There is the youth movement and all the ministries that every church needs. And we also run another parish for the Tamil-speaking community. The Chinese community has come into the mainstream church. So all the other ministries, as in any other parish, is running, right? And so besides that, the community of the others who are not attached to the parish will run parish missions.
Okay, so we have some of us that focuses on all the parish work and just run the place like a parish, but we still have some of our guys there that focus on parish missions.
Yes.
All right.
Recently, we did two big missions, one in the Minor Basilica in Butterworth, and another one in Bukit Mertajam. So we have all this going on.
I do remember before COVID, we do have more collaboration between Malaysia and Singapore. So when there are missions in Malaysia, quite a few of us from Singapore are being invited to join in. And I just enjoyed all the missions. It's always very wonderful. The difference between the missions in Malaysia and in Singapore is that most of the missions in Malaysia, you have to stay in the parish itself for an extended period of time. You really get to know the people. After a month or two, you really get very attached to the people. And it always feels a little bit sad when we end the mission and we have to leave. Over here, we do spend a lot of time, but the only difference is that we always come back to Novena Church or to our own communities at the end of it. So it's a little bit different in terms of the experiences. Yeah.
It's wonderful to stay in another parish, to stay in a home with other people, how they accommodate us. You really get to know the parish so well because you cannot return to home base. It's too far away. It's miles and miles. So it's really a different mission experience for Malaysia compared to Singapore. Okay. Singapore, you go back to home base at the end of the day, after your visitations, you go home. Here, no, you go back to the parish that you are in charge. And you're all there. I mean, you're there 24.
Yep. 7. Yeah. Well, again, hopefully in the near future, we can do some more such parish missions with more manpower. I'm sure quite a few of the Singapore listeners are familiar with some of the Redemptorists that is staying over there in the Ipoh community. So maybe you can just give us a bit of a rundown of who are staying there, who are the members of the community, and how are things with all of them?
Right. First of all, there is Father Joe Stephen. Mm-hmm. He is the parish priest. Mm-hmm. I'm his assistant.
Okay.
He still goes and gives retreats. He gives talks also in Singapore. That is Philip Lai, who is going to retire very soon because he's 75 already. But he's also on the mission team.
All right.
And he's good for the Chinese-speaking community. That is Paul Key, also not part of the parish, but in the mission team and when there are missions. He goes and supervises the pastoral care in the hospital in Ipoh.
Okay.
Then there is Eugene Fernandez, but he is been seconded to help out as a spiritual director in Penang, the seminary. Okay. So he's attached there.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. So when we need help for missions, we can call anyone available.
Yeah. Like, good luck to the Penang seminary. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So yes, these are all the Redemptorists over there, and at different times they have come here to Singapore, so quite a few of the people here in Singapore would have already met some of these Redemptorists over there, and it's nice to know that they are all doing well and still working hard in all their different ministries. Okay, so maybe we just take some last moments to focus on you now. So you are always known to be very multi-talented, and I'm sure just being in the parish, that's not going to stop you from pursuing some of your interest in the name of helping the congregation and for our vice province, of course. So what have you been busy with lately? Is there any new projects? Or is there anything interesting that you are working on?
Well, we are so parish-based. We just finished a parish mission up north. Now I'm with the youth. They're preparing for Easter. There is a big play that is going to go on. So I go in to supervise. I'm helping the other commentators and readers for Holy Week. That's what I do at the moment. This is it. While when I'm free, I'll be doing the online novenas, which is there.
Okay.
Which is
So,
which this Saturday will be a 200th edition of the devotion since the
exactly.
pandemic.
So, for the listeners who do not know about it, Father Patrick do have a weekly online novena. I think it started during the pandemic, right?
Pandemic,
yeah,
yes.
It started off during the pandemic, but it kept going. It's going strong, and Father Patrick always marketed it as the best novena in existence. But it still falls under the Redemptorist community, so
yeah,
we claim to have the best novenas, or at least to our Mother of Perpetual Help. So that's good. So a big congratulation to you for the 200th episode. Is it?
Yes.
Is it going to be like something special? Are you having like special guest star or something big for the 200th?
No. It's always low key.
Oh, come on.
You know, yeah. So it's just 200 the number.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for any of the listeners, if you want to know more about this novenas that Father Patrick is conducting, we will be putting it on our show notes, so you can just click the link and enjoy the novenas of Father Patrick. So how about your singing? Are you doing any are you cutting any new albums?
I don't have time to do that.
Ooh.
At the moment.
Yeah.
We have one musical in our minds that is parked somewhere because of the pandemic. We're supposed to do a big musical,
yes,
in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah,
the pandemic,
yeah,
stopped.
Yeah, yeah,
everything,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I remember
so we've got...
previously you were also talking about some ideas for the musical, and it was like going to be really funny. When you're mentioning about it, I was just keep laughing. I do hope that musical will become a reality in the near future. You guys are working,
yeah,
on it now?
We've parked it somewhere at the moment,
okay,
because our main writer is not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
The creative person in that place, you see.
Okay.
I'm a lyricist, so I'm still writing. I'm still writing.
Okay,
yeah.
That's very good. And any new song coming? I believe the last big hit was when we have our new church, and you wrote a song for our Mother Mary, the Icon of Love.
Yeah.
So the other day, yeah, we just had our vice provincial retreat, and Patrick managed to like give us a private rendition of this song. So maybe later you can actually end this podcast with a singing of this Icon of Love. You just need to sing the part where you hit the high notes. That's all we want. You know, like, okay, I just give you a bit of time to just warm up your vocals a little bit.
Oh no, I'm down. My throat is very bad. It's okay. No.
So say all the great singers. Yeah, but when they open their mouth, the beautiful sound comes out. And
that's what I like to share with the aspirants and all that coming in. There are so many things that we can share. So many senior citizens in the community. So give it a shot.
Okay.
As I did, I never gave up. You know, when they said go home, get your job back, I thought that's the end of the road. But when God calls, He knows what to do. Really.
So does it mean that anyone who is interested can just come over and,
yes,
spend some time?
Just write to us.
Mm-hmm.
Write to us. I'm the vocation promoter. I will see to it. I will reply, and we can meet somewhere, either at your place. I will travel anywhere if you're interested to join us.
Okay.
I will go anywhere.
All right. Wonderful. So yeah, is there any other things that you would like to say before we end this particular episode?
Yeah, important to pray for more vocations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very important. And also this whole thing about synodality,
yeah,
how we are working with the lay people, this new way of being church, you know, communion, participation, and mission. Pope Francis has come up something so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is our identity for the future, for our survival, actually. It's synodality of synodal church.
That's true. Yeah, we definitely love to see you all more. Actually, very soon, some of us will be visiting the Ipoh community, and we definitely hope that you can come over to Singapore a little bit more to interact with all our churchgoers here in Singapore. And yeah, let's just all pray that more people will be attracted to the Redemptrists and join in this family. Yeah. So is there any other things that you would like to share with our listeners? Anything with regards to telling us more about our Redemptrists in Malaysia, our presence in Malaysia, or anyone who might be interested in joining the Redemptrists, especially in Malaysia? Is there anything that you want to share with them?
As Jesus, come and see. Come and stay with us and see what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time with us and you get to know us better. Not, you know, from just reading something. You must come into the experience of what community life is like and how we run a parish differently from the dioceses. Because it's always teamwork. And there's so many of us with so much of interesting stories of our past.
It's quite a crazy family, but I think it's worthwhile and it's very interesting. So, just to make people more interested in joining us, so I think, Patrick, you just have to sacrifice and sing us a little bit to end this podcast. So,
Terrence?
Yes.
You cannot do that to me.
Oh, come on. Just a line or two. Whatever.
You are the icon, the icon of love. The icon of God, love. Okay, amen. That's it. You can play the song on whatever it is.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
So anyway, thank you so much, Patrick. It's really nice to catch up with you here online, and definitely we'll be seeing you a lot more. And hopefully, the listeners will also have more chance to interact with you. Hopefully, you will be able to come here in Singapore and do something. We do have some plans up our sleeves, especially next year. A lot of programs are going to happen next year. So stay tuned, especially for the listeners. Next year, a lot of things can happen. And definitely, at some point of time, Father Patrick is going to come here in Singapore and just going to interact with everyone. All right. So, Patrick, any last words before we say goodbye?
No, just pray for us. Pray for more vocations, as I said. And tune into our novena.
Okay.
Marian experience.
All right. So,
you won't regret it.
Okay. So, all right. So, goodbye. Thank you. And we'll see you again in our next podcast episode. Bye bye.
All right. All the best. Take care.